Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Let's go. I want to give you a head coaching candidate that is out of left field, and his name is Jeff Lebby. He is the Mississippi State head coach, and what's very interesting about Jeff is we already know he is doing big things in the Southeastern Conference. The Mississippi State Bulldogs are 5-4. Mississippi State that had a win total set at 3.5. And I understand, well, Carter, they lost it to Toledo last season. Are you really wanting to bring in a coach that did that very thing? Well, look, how many great first-year coaches turned out to be great coaches that lost to somebody pretty embarrassing in year one? Everybody is fawning over freaking Marcus Freeman, and he's lost two of these games. So we're going to talk about Jeff. We're going to talk about two other really deep cut candidates. We're also going to get into the political mumbo jumbo, but I got to be honest, I'm so sick and tired of talking about it because, well, we spent so much time talking about it last week. So, Verge Osbury, if you are watching, this is not my official. I want to just get deep. I want to go down the rabbit hole. So, why do I even bring up Jeff Lebby's name? Well, first off, he is a offensive-minded coach. I do think LSU wants to bring somebody in that is really good at coordinating one side of the football. I understand this want and need to have a CEO type of head coach. Well, guess what? That type of coach can also be a guy that he himself is a good play caller. And Jeff Lebby, to me, is a really good play caller. I understand Mississippi State has not necessarily let the made the world go on fire here in the Southeastern Conference under his tutelage, but they have been really good. I mean, honestly, if you really want to get down into the nitty-gritty, how many teams in the SEC have been coached better than Jeff Lebby this season? There's just not many of them. His losses have been extremely close. He lost that Florida game. He also lost a game versus Texas that probably should have been won by the Bulldogs, and Texas has a legit shot to go win the SEC this season, as ugly as it's looked for them at times. They also beat Arizona State earlier this year. Well, Carter, Arizona State is on a down year. Well, they avenged that loss to Arizona State last year, that if you actually watch that game, that itself was very fluky. Don't just look at the score. I think Jeff Lebby coach teams have mostly been good. He did make probably the worst coordinator hire I've ever seen as their first year defensive coordinator, had never really called plays before. But guess what? Our last guy couldn't hire coordinators to save his life. So, you know, I'm just making a case for someone that has not been brought up at all. I think his buyout is currently around $10 million. He makes about $4 million per year. So you need to get him in that 7 or 8 range, which is what all the coaches in the SEC make. He is the second lowest paid SEC coach right now. Only Clark Lee at Vanderbilt is lower. Now, this is not me reporting. This is not me doing any of this. I'm just providing perspective on some names that are out there. Well, look, the problem with just talking about the big names are two things before we get into these other two deeper cut names. The first is there are so many jobs that are open. So what Verge Osbury is probably going to deal with, let's just say Lane Kiffin wants to come here. You get the deal done. You have to pay the big money And of course, Verge, if it is indeed him leading this search, Verge himself will have help from the board of directors. And of course, I do think there will be some insight from you-know-who, even though, of course, he's put out there that he's not going to be involved. But Verge did say, hey, price isn't really going to be a factor if we just need to go get the best coach we could possibly get. So for me, I do think LSU wants to get a big name. And I do think if you were to land Lane Kiffin, you would need to pay him something similar, if not more, than what Brian Kelly has gotten. And I do think with all the bridges that have been burned with what has been said about Lane Kiffin's agent, Jimmy Sexton, and what's out there about the contract, Verge can say that, but that would obviously spook someone from potentially coming here. So a lot has changed, obviously, since I've given out my number one pick of Lane Kiffin, who was also my number two guy in the last search just a few years ago. So the problem with getting a proven guy, let's just say it's not Lane. That's the only guy at this point where I would feel comfortable giving that amount of money to. Let's just say you want to get Eli Drinkwitz. Well, you would need to pay that level of money to get him here. And the problem is, if you want to get a coach at a semi-bargain, and I do think, let's just say Jeff Lebby is a guy. I don't think it's going to be, but let's just say that it is. You're getting him potentially on the ascent. What if he turns Mississippi State into what Missouri is right now? Which is very unlikely, but it's plausible. I don't think it's out of the stretch of the imagination. Lebby is very similar to Eli Drinkwitz in many ways. And you would be getting him at a price a lot cheaper than it would be to go get Eli Drinkwitz. Now, Drinkwitz is a better coach, but, well, that's why he's already making north of $7 million per year. If you get Jeff Lebby, you can get him and pay him that while also having some SEC coaching experience. So this would be the question. If I were in the spot of going after coaches, I understand someone like John Summerall, who knows Louisiana, is at Tulane. I'm fine with John Summerall. There's a lot of people that are fine with John Summerall. Would you prefer Summerall over a guy like Jeff Lebby? Would you? I'm just asking, would you prefer that? I don't know. It's whatever floats your boat, okay? So I wanted to bring that up also as far as Jeff is concerned. This is a guy that has a lot of play calling experience at quite a few schools that have done really well. When he was at Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin and he was hired for his first offensive coordinator job, he was really good with Matt Corral. And Matt Corral obviously was good. He's not been as good as the other Ole Miss quarterbacks since Jeff Lebby has left. And that offense had some good pieces. There was a season there with Elijah Moore. I think there was a Mingo season mixed in there. I always thought he was a little overrated. But those running backs and that overall skill position group wasn't great. Okay, so then you would say, all right, in 2020 and 2021, where he was the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, well, that's Lane's offense. So what did Jeff Lebby do? Well, he was offered the job to go be the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. Now, he had an elite quarterback and softer schedules. This was the last couple of seasons with Dylan Gabriel in the Big 12. And Gabriel obviously is a very, very, very good college quarterback. But once again, those offenses had really good players, but it wasn't prime Oklahoma level of talent. Their best running back was a guy by the name of Gavin Sawchuk, who I think is a backup now at Florida State. The receivers were fine. I think a few of those receivers are actually still on the Oklahoma team now, ironically. And overall, he was good. He was really good. He was a 6 yard per play guy there. You guys know that 6 yard per play number is tough to be at for an entire season. He was comfortably over that at Oklahoma. Now, they were never really the number one offense in the SEC when it comes to yard per play, if you P4 adjust it, I think if you include all games, I have it somewhere. I have so many sheets of paper. Lineup over here. It was still good. I mean, it was still really, really, really good offensive football. So he gets all that play calling experience, 4 years of offensive play calling experience, and then he's a head coach at Mississippi State. And it's really important to not look at the record and really pay attention with what he has had to work with at Mississippi State. Obviously, we're very familiar with one of his pieces in Michael Van Buren. And Michael Van Buren, of course, is a guy that a lot of you want to be the starter, including myself. I would love to see Michael Van Buren get a shot, but I do think it's still going to be the Garrett Nussmeier show, and I'm still a Nuss fan. I've been very critical of Nuss. It's obviously hurt quite a few people's feelings, but I really want Nuss to play better and be more courageous and do what's needed out of the quarterback position for us to go out there and pull an upset versus Alabama. We'll see if he's able to do it, but you know, with Michael Van Buren, a true freshman quarterback last year, when Blake Shapen was knocked out of the season, Mississippi State's offenses were respectable. They were very good. They moved the football after their starter went out. So what happened? Well, Mississippi State had two really good receivers. They had Mario Craver and Kevin Coleman. They have both moved on, and they have both been even better at their new schools, Craver at Texas A&M, and then, of course, Kevin Coleman at Missouri. And then, of course, they have to reevaluate and recoup their wide receiver room. And guess what? Their wide receiver room has once again been really good. It's always been really good. Now, Mississippi State's never had elite wide receivers. You know, they've had guys like Chad Bumpus, if you will.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's amazing what he's done making this offense work. Now, their schedule this season has been easier than what it was last year, but it's still difficult. This is still a guy with SEC head coaching experience. So, you know, for me, I am open to that. If LSU were to say, hey, Jeff Lebby's going to be your next coach, I would be fine with it. I'm not the absolute most massive fan of his, but I do think when you dive a little bit deeper, more than just the records, you're going to see a really good coach. I really do believe it. Okay? Let me see this really. I want to make sure I have his age correctly. Yeah, so he is 41. Okay? And John Summerall is 43. Not a big deal. Obviously, head coaching age is something that has been brought up. Brian Kelly was the oldest head coach in the SEC before he got the axe. I think there is a growing sentiment with the actual, I will say that there is a growing sentiment that LSU needs to get younger when it comes to their coaching. All right. So let's go to Andy. And before Andy, we talk about Kenny Dillingham, I want to touch on two of these other deeper cut names. Let's go to a group of five guy, Eric Morris. His nickname is the Elf, the North Texas head coach who is currently winning with a quarterback who did not start a single game in high school. So kind of a Kyle Trask situation at North Texas. That is deeper cut. I would not like that higher at all, but for a group of five guy, I would take it. Obviously, there's plenty of other group of five guys that many of us would prefer. I know Summerall would be one. I know Alex Golsh would be another that a lot of us would prefer, but, you know, to each your own, whatever floats your boat. And then my third is a guy that I think would fix a huge problem at LSU, which is making our traditional tight end room really good. All right. So we need to recognize that we don't want Tre'Davious Green blocking. We want him playing receiver. So why don't we get the guy that uses tight ends better than almost anyone in all of college football? And his name is Lance Leipold, the head coach of Kansas. He is older, obviously. He doesn't fit that younger, in your late 30s and 40s build, but Lance Leipold can flat out coach. And I would be open to bringing someone who is really good at scheming things open. Okay. Those are three deep cuts. Eric Morse, I've seen and heard on other lists. I have not seen anyone mention Lance Leipold at all. I've always been a big fan of his, but I will plant my flag with Jeff Lebby as someone that LSU should consider and do more research on. Okay. Now, what about all the off the field stuff with Jeff Lebby? There really isn't any. Okay. There is some. He is married to the daughter of Art Briles. And anytime you bring in someone associated with Art Briles, there's going to be conversation. It's just the way of the world. And look, obviously that's, that is stuff of serious nature, of course, but you know, I think Jeff has been hired by enough schools to where it's like, well, seems fine enough for quite a few different institutions. So, you know, that does come along with it if you were to do something like that. But man, I will tell you this. The biggest shock is Mississippi State in the SEC right now at 5-4. I don't think anyone thought Vanderbilt. I don't think anyone is like blown away that Vanderbilt only has two losses. I think a lot of us are a little blown away how good Ole Miss has been this year. But we knew Lane could do this. I did not think 5-4 was possible with this roster. All right. Now they made some good moves. They got Malik Silla, a really good pass rusher out of Texas A&M. And he's been really good for them this year. But, you know, overall, I just didn't see it. This is one of the best coaching jobs and nobody's talking about it. Okay. Now, let's get to as many comments as we possibly can. I have already done my rant. I want this to be a guest-free Sunday. We were going to have Blake on, but it wasn't able to work out for tonight. Blake obviously loves coming on with us on Sunday nights. So we'll get him on at some point, hopefully this week. And yeah, let's get to it. The mayor says, I see Drink and Baker back together eventually. Let's go to John here. If you want to have a team that gets more physical, Ryan Silverfield, the Memphis head coach, would definitely do that. They are a fun, physical team to watch. They obviously pulled the upset off versus Arkansas. You know, Memphis coaches are normally good. You know, I know a lot of people have their opinions of Norvell and how these last couple of seasons have gone, but you know, Silverfield would definitely bring some physicality to LSU. Larry says, are we really talking about him? Well, that's why you're here. I could go through the cookie-cutter names that every single one of you human beings have already read about. All right? I want you to think plausibly while at the same time thinking outside the box. All right? And this would be the question that I would ask every single one of you. Well, there's no way LSU's going to make that move. Okay. There was no way that LSU was going to hire Brian Kelly. All right. When Texas A&M hired Mike Elko, it was not well received. There was true A&M fans that wanted the Mark Stoops thing to happen. But I think overwhelmingly they didn't want that to happen. But there were still some people out there that wanted to overpay him for whatever Kentucky has on their field as a product, even though Kentucky, of course, took care of business versus Auburn. All right. Let's get to a few more names here. Hudat Fam says, whoever the head coach will be, I pray he can develop quarterbacks. Well, once again, It's as if Lebby has worked with Johnny Manziel at Mississippi State. None of the quarterbacks he has worked with as a play caller is someone you would think of as, like, truly amazing. Let's go to Matthew. He says, I would rather promote Blake Baker before hiring Jeff Lebby. All right, so here's the issue with the Blake Baker promotion. I've seen this brought up quite a few times, actually. So if you were to do that, why wasn't he promoted into being the head coach now? So let's say the LSU coaching staff says, look, we want Blake Baker to be our next head coach. So you would have to go to Frank Wilson if you wanted to keep him and say, hey, Frank, we want Blake to be the guy, and we're going to demote you. There's no way you could do that. So you would have to fire Frank Wilson and then have Blake basically start the offense off from scratch. Okay, let's go to Jack here. Carter, what about Josh Heupel? All right. So, and before I get to Josh Heupel, this would be the final thing on Lebby. And I understand Dawson's here. Why would I think Lebby would be a good hire? It's not necessarily that I think it would be a slam dunk hire. But I didn't bring up point number two. It was my fault. All right, because I get up in the comments and into the rants and all of that. So there's only so many things. There's only so many people we would consider to be a slam dunk hire. And the problem with considering someone being a slam dunk hire is that we do not associate price into the equation. We also don't associate how bad we are predicting which coaches are actually going to be good. So we suck at doing both of those things. Okay. So yeah, it's a strange thing. And if we don't do that, then whatever you're theoretically paying to a head coach theoretically also takes away from what you could be paying in NIL. And then, of course, the opposite is also true. If you pay big for a big-name head coach, that could bring in new money. All right, we've seen this happen in the Southeastern Conference. In all sports, honestly. And we've seen it in basketball for sure. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. You have to factor in price, and you also have to factor in how big is your salary going to be for your players and your assistants. So another thing that we're not factoring in is that there are other jobs open. And this has been the thing that has pissed me off about the is LSU the best job available discussion. Is that it very well could be. I do still think it is because I know the power of being in Louisiana and having that talent to work with. The NIL rant be damned. All right. I still do think LSU is the best job. I do. But it doesn't really matter if it is the best job. It's that other really good jobs are open. So there is a supply issue here. All right, there are plenty of different teams looking for that next guy. And, well, when that happens, the slam dunk names that a lot of us would like, some of those names that we do like are going to take some of these other jobs. And I don't think we're going to be the first to make a hire in this cycle. I really don't think so. You know, one thing about Lebby that would make sense is that he's not going to a college football playoff. He's not. So he would be able to get here and get the ball rolling as far as what we need to do, okay? Now, the same thing would be the case with Josh Heupel. So, Jack, I have never met Josh Heupel in my life, never. I've done Tennessee content now for 3 years, film studying 90 to 95% of their games. So the film study you see on Power Hour LSU, I do the same for SEC, but not quite to the level that you get here on Power Hour LSU because I love you guys more than the guys at the SEC channel. Don't tell them I told you that. But with Josh in particular, I have developed a deep affinity for Josh Heupel. He is so good at this coaching thing. He is so good at how disciplined his offenses are run. The way that those offensive lines run block is absolutely positively amazing. They ask their guards to pull a whole hell of a lot. Our offensive guards can't stand upright. But there's been issues with the Josh Heupel era. He has struggled to beat the teams that actually have real dudes. Okay, so who have they lost to? They lost to Georgia, and they lost to Alabama. The Georgia game was a game that they choked away. The Alabama game was a game where they were thoroughly beaten. And then they lost to Oklahoma, which is, to me, still one of the strangest results of the season last year. They threw a pick six. It was a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Our Mason Thomas, who kicked our ass last year, was able to scoop and score. And then they had two interceptions that were returned deep into opponent territory. And Oklahoma has the best field goal kicker in the SEC. So Oklahoma magically won that game with smoke and mirrors, while Tennessee had basically 200 plus more yards of yards in that game. The problem with Josh Heupel is a few things. Number one, they are horribly penalized. Right? This is a team that has discipline issues. As regimented as their offense actually is, they can be very sloppy in that area. Another thing with Heupel, and this is a very subjective thing, and I would say this to his face. When I would meet Josh Heupel for the first time, I've studied his offense. I'm not someone that's going to break down. And obviously Heupel, like Lebby, is of the Bryles air raid-ish, but Heupel's offense has evolved from last year, and he brought in Jim Chaney as an assistant. And their offense has been a little bit more pro style and a lot better at the vertical pass because Nico wasn't that great. And their new quarterback, Joey Aguilar, can indeed throw it deep. One big thing with Heupel is he has had quite a few weird off-the-field things happen. And what do I mean by that? Well, a few years ago, before the South Carolina game, their best linebacker got kicked off the team when they were in the middle of the playoff run. And I think a lot of you remember that game. They got destroyed by a mid-Spencer Rattler team. There was rumors. South Carolina stole their plays. Whatever the case may be, there was that. They've had other players opt out, and the Boo Carter situation was weird. The Nico situation was weird. I think we all agreed that he did the right thing with the Nico thing, but it was something that did happen. And a lot of this is just random. It's bad luck. You know, LSU has not dealt with as many of these types of situations as Tennessee has, but it is something. It's something that maybe because I follow Tennessee somewhat closely, it's something that is on my radar. And of course, you know, defensively, he has stuck with Tim Banks as his defensive coordinator, and that has had a lot of pros and cons. Banks will have one absolutely atrocious game where he doesn't adjust during the game, but Heupel's defenses have been amazingly opportunistic. They have forced a lot of turnovers. So if he were to come over, would he bring Banks over? I don't know. I really don't know. But the thing is, Blake Baker views defense very similar to that of Tim Banks. They want to be the aggressor. So that would be an interesting fit. And this is also a downside with Josh, is that his defenses will routinely play a whole hell of a lot of plays. So they'll have a lot of 75 to 80 play games. And that's a problem we have now, right? When you're playing that many plays, your teams can wear down. So if you were to go get Heupel, it would be expensive. I mean, he's already one of the highest paid SEC coaches, and you would need to pay him probably $10 million a year. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to say Tennessee has gotten rancid. I'm not going to say that at all. But the fans are chirping. There's a little chirpy birds out there. And Heupel could look at that as, hey, I understand you guys are mad at me right now for not winning a few more of these bigger games. But at the same damn time, you were being coached by Butch Jones. You're being coached by Derek Dooley, who couldn't even have the right number of players on the field. I am going to Baton Rouge, where my players will be better. And I will bring an offense that the LSU fans know is good because they put belt to ass a few years ago in Brian Kelly's first season. Okay? Hendon Hooker was a long time ago. Yeah, it is kind of crazy. So what has he done since Hendon Hooker? Well, essentially, with very flawed quarterbacks, he has still fielded really good offenses. So obviously, I would be a pretty big Josh Heupel fan if LSU were to hire him. I'm a Heupel fanboy. I will defend him to the high heavens. All right. We'll get to this from S. Young before we get to another break. Kelvin Shepard would be personally my favorite guy that they hire. All right. Because Shep was a very cool guy at LSU. He was just a cool guy. Intense guy. Cool guy. I remember, I think this was Kelvin Shepard. I would need to pull out my old recorder from when I was at KLSU. I did an interview with Kelvin Shepard, and he's a very thoughtful guy. We were discussing a million years ago. He played in the final LSU versus Alabama game where there wasn't a bye week before the game for both teams. So we went on the road and played Alabama. And Alabama had a bye week beforehand, and that was the Patrick Peterson game. I think that's right. I'm going to need to go back and look at it. This is all just coming back to me because I had quite a few interviews and convos with Shep. And he gave like a ridiculously thoughtful answer. He's like, yeah, I don't want to make excuses, but it is something, right? It is something that you have to play a game before and the other team gets that full 2 week preparation before they have to play you. And since then, of course, LSU and Alabama have had a bye week before they play each other. And that's going to continue this year. Also, though, quite a few of us like it because it's Halloween weekend. So Halloween weekend for every year at LSU was an open weekend and the parties were insane. Absolutely insane. Things I could not say publicly here. Okay. Obviously, Kelvin Shepard would be affordable. Kelvin Shepard would look at this as a dream job. What he said about LSU is really hard to not get excited about. Okay, so what he say about LSU? Quote, I am a liger. Cut me in half. I'm half tiger. I'm half lion. And he is, of course, the defensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions. So, number one, this would excite and rejuvenate an entire fan base. Number two, this would not be a $13 million a year type of hire. And then number three, many are concerned about alumni relations. That's one big thing that Frank Wilson put really high up on his list, which is changing up the alum network and who can come into practice. He's had an open door policy with the former players, which was not the case under Brian Kelly. It wasn't just BK. I'll leave that at that. But, it's Brian Kelly's the head guy, and he oversaw that. And former players would be able to come back to practice. It's just now it's different. And the former players would go nuts if Kelvin Shepard was hired. All right? He'd go nuts. Mike says, being a former player has zero bearing on him taking us to a college football playoff. Just not worth the risk. Two bad hires in a row ruins LSU football. He's telling you. Well, here's a problem, Mike, is that with every coach, there is a risk. Every single one. Every single one. All right. You know, there is not a person doing this right now that wears purple and gold LSU stuff every single day, basically, and is a bigger fan of Lane Kiffin than me. Okay. The problem with that is, well, he would be expensive. And there is a downside. There's a downside to everything. That's the beauty of sports. They're unpredictable as hell. Things change by the millisecond. S. Young continues, Shep would keep Raymond Wilson and go get Tommy Moffitt back. Yeah, so Moffitt is probably going to stay at Texas A&M, but you never know. You never know. I will. One thing that's been very interesting, and we do have to go to break, but this has been probably the single most shocking thing I've noticed in particular about the Kelvin Shepherd name being brought up in the search. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you. It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563 or visit FortifiedGulf.com. That's Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of Laborde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at Laborde Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes. It doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, laboratherapy.com, with locations in Cairncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. Laboratherapy.com, L-A-B-O-R-D-E therapy.com. Let's go. Yeah, I understand. I always love it when I get the, oh my goodness, there's ads in a stream. What? I have to make a living? I don't have a parent company. This is literally just me. So all those ads are cut by me, negotiated by me. I get some of the Google stuff. And look, I lost 50 viewers because of that ad. A lot of you have seen it. I've done 3-hour streams just consecutively. It's the only break that I play during the show. Unless I have to go use the bathroom or it gets really long or whatever. So my apologies for feeding my dog. We continue, though. But one final thing on this. For a smaller creator, anytime you see a spot, just know that it's helping that person more than if you're watching, you know, I like this guy a lot, obviously, Pat McAfee, you know, he's got a gazillion spots, right? But he's also, and everybody that works for him, generationally wealthy. So it's just one thing to think about, especially, you know, if you're watching for free. I have a bunch of ad-free content as well on Patreon and in our Discord. So there you go. Now, we continue. I always feel like I have to defend myself to explain it. Because trust me, I don't like it that my partners who watch this show are like, oh my God, these people that are putting their hard-earned money because they believe in me, I don't like them. You should like them, though. All right? Like, I understand. Like, I get it. But anyway, we go to one interesting thing about Kelvin Shepard. I think if we were to go back and count how many times Kelvin Shepard's name has been brought up, it would 10x how many times Joe Brady's name has been brought up. 10x it. Okay? 10x it. Now, what does 10x it mean? Okay? It's not if you have a choice to go to Hammond, but you decide to go towards New Orleans. I'm kidding. That's the worst dad joke I think I've ever given. No, but 10X means that for every one time that Joe Brady's name has been brought up in the chat, Kelvin Shepard's name has been brought up 10 times more. All right? And I find that strange. I really do. Because, yes, I don't know who I would truly prefer between the two of them. But Joe Brady has been in a coordinator's role for so long now. He failed at the Panthers, but he's done really good, obviously, with the Bills. His name has been heavily attached to the Cincinnati Bengals job for quite a few reasons, and I think a lot of you would know why. So I do think of the two, Brady would be less inclined to come back to LSU. And another thing is, Joe Brady just doesn't excite anybody. Kelvin Shepard's going to win a press conference. Kelvin Shepard is going to be the better fundraiser, the better recruiter, and all those other things that are associated with, you know, the off-field antics of a coach. So I think that's also part of it. But we do in our livelihoods like the shiny new toy. We love it, in fact. Which is why I wanted to start the show with the Jeff Lebby conversation. He's younger than John Summerall. And then we have a guy who's been in the P4 now for 5+ years, two of which as a head coach. And he coaches a more important side of the football. But Summerall is a shiny box who I think is going to go to Auburn. But that's a different story for a different day. But, you know, it's something, right? It's one of those things that is interesting. Because as far as Kelvin Shepard is concerned, he isn't in the spot if the Jets don't get Aaron Glenn, right? So there was a lot of things that needed to happen for Kelvin Shepard to be in the spot and to go from there to a small sample size of, what, half a season of him coordinating games? It's a lot. It really is a lot, all right? And once again, I think personally of who, outside of course, Tyrann Mathieu, who would be probably the most popular name if anyone could have hired outside of Nick Saban. Of the plausible ones, Kelvin Shepard is the one that does excite most LSU fans. But, you know, it's easy to get up into the narratives about the sexy name in a certain subset of different types of coaches. Okay. Ronnie says they're already talking about Kiffin to the Dolphins. Ronnie, good to see you. And thank you for being a member. Yeah, so Lane Kiffin to the Dolphins, that was kind of brought up in a Colin Cowherd rant. He brought up that if he were the Dolphins, he would go get Lane Kiffin. But maybe that's the only time I've really seen Lane Kiffin to the Dolphins. Let's go to 4K T. Owen. Do we even have a shot at Kiffin? Isn't there some connection to Florida with his wife's family being big boosters? Yeah, I mean, that might be the case. I don't know. I've learned to not look too deep into those things for a few reasons, because what a lot of these really big head coaches like BK and Lincoln, okay, so let's just say this. I understand from a brand perspective, this analogy wouldn't make sense, but it does considering how good and how well compensated he is at Ole Miss. Lane going to LSU would be a shocking and, more importantly, as newsworthy as Lincoln doing what he did to USC and Brian Kelly to LSU. So with that being very sensitive information, Lane's going to want his name out there for a lot of these different openings because, well, you don't know which one he's going to pick, right? Or is he just going to stay at Ole Miss? I don't know. I don't know. Go Tigers says, I'd rather Frank Wilson. Okay. Now, I do want to bring this up before we go into a different subject. It's a mini spot. Might I will. Okay. I am working on the Lord's Day, but I don't consider this work, even though this is my work. I want to shout out Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. So I don't like DJing fall weddings for a lot of different reasons because, you know, I was up until 7 this morning cutting SEC film studies. I'm up until 7 anyway, cutting SEC film studies every Saturday. But, you know, I really, really, really am happy that our friends at Zion Imaging were able to do a wedding together. And this was a prayer that was being told at a wedding we did this past weekend. And look at this. This is why you got to get with our friends at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. That's Jaron right there, the owner of the business with the son, praying those who pray together as a family will always succeed as a family. I believe in that. And by the way, all different backgrounds. Obviously, it was a big discussion that I wanted to be crystal clear. All different backgrounds of political religions, all that stuff. But they really are the best. They are by far the best spin booth I have ever worked with at any weddings. And I've DJed 50 plus weddings. So I got to do a wedding yesterday with them. And then the day before I did one in Denham Springs, Louisiana. Shout out to Dylan and Julie, and also shout out Jordan and Daniel yesterday. The Watleys, they're awesome. Okay. But I really want that to be out there. And just know I'm praying for every one of our viewers, especially last week. It was stressful. All right. I feel as if me just talking about theoretical candidates would be a disservice to everything that happened last week, where there was a new big story every single day. And what happens when we're caught up in it, we can allow big things to happen, and then we're just already on to the next thing, right? There's huge, life-changing world events that happen all the time, and boom, we're already on to the next thing. Already on to the next thing. And that's fine. There's pros and cons of that. So last week, I want to actually start on this show. We had a 247 writer, YouTuber, and Cooper Patagna, who's a really good friend of mine, very talented multimedia, and he has worked in quite a few football, they call them front offices, but he's been a personnel guy at quite a few teams. And he said he felt pretty good about Lane Kiffin, and then the next day the Jeff Landry rant happened. All right, so, okay, the Jeff Landry rant happens, and then What happens the next day? Well, Jeff Landry, we had the McAfee thing on Thursday. And then we had the Moscona interview. I will stand by Mr. Matt Moscona that he did a good interview. I feel as if people are, it could just be me, but it felt like people destroyed Matt for the interview. I thought it was a really good interview. And I highly recommend people go listen to it. The problem with that interview is that it immediately became dated because then Scott Woodward is gone. And in the middle of all of that, you had the Ross Dellinger piece where the bombshell was out that Scott Woodward wanted to go get, or Scott, Jeff Landry wanted Scott to go get Will Wade. And then underneath this, you have stuff that doesn't have anything to do with sports, which is people in power's own personal political feel towards things. It's that's one thing that was brought up. You know, Landry, of course, is, I believe, maybe political experts can help me, he leans right. And then, according to people that know Scott, he leans left. All right. So, President Tate's gone. Jeff Landry's gone. Yeah, President Tate tweet out the wire meme. And then, of course, we're here now. Well, nothing happened on Friday. Thank goodness nothing happened on Friday. Yes! Kind of a Friday news dump. You have Virge Ausberry along with the Board of Supervisors next to him, or two other members of the LSU board, talking about the coaching search. And then basically they admit that taxpayer money does not fund LSU coaching buyouts. And then, of course, you have Verge saying, hey, I am leading the search, and we are going to get the best coach possible. We're not going to have any salary requirements or preconditions or anything like that. So you have all of this. But then you get to something that happened earlier today. All right. Or at least I saw this earlier today. Glenn Gilbo, who a lot of you despise. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know Glenn not well. You know, when I would sit in press boxes and press conferences, I did that for, I guess, roughly 3 to 5 years of my life. I wasn't ever really particularly close to Gilbo. But I do think he is very comfortable with being someone that is not liked. And that is a very big pro and a very big con. It's probably a bigger con, if anything, right? He says a lot of things that makes LSU look bad. But, you know, it's always good to have that on the beat as well. And I could get into a bunch of different reasons as to why, even though a lot of stuff he's written in the past, I'm not particularly liked. So, he tweets out a clip, or he tweets out a quote from Richard Lipsey. All right, so Richard Lipsey is, first off, the name Richard Lipsey sounds like a powerful person. If they were to say, hey, Carter, give me the name of a booster who, a theoretical fictional booster who has a lot of money and donates to athletic departments. Look, I'll follow Glenn back for giving us some content here. This is a quote that Glenn has from Richard Lipsey. Now, before I give my full thoughts on this quote, understand that Glenn is a guy that is really good at generating stories. He's generating clicks. He's worked at so many different big websites because of it. Some of you consider him a hack, whatever the case may be. You know, I think now, especially with online media and us having so much easier access to recording conversations and interviews and all of it, the power of the written word becomes more dangerous, right? If you were to say if you were to clip a few different things from this hour plus long live stream, you could make me look absolutely bad. And then obviously AI, all that stuff is a different rant for a different day. But this is a quote that Glenn got from Richard Lipsey. I do not know Richard, by the way. The board's leadership has handled this whole episode poorly. They let the governor dictate their actions. Okay. I think it's newsworthy. I do. Now, once again, Richard Lipsey is not a guy that does a lot of interviews, or at least I don't think so. But the way you look at the Tiger Athletic Foundation would be very different if Richard Lipsey wasn't involved. And there's people that do what I do that's way better at explaining fundraising and behind-the-scenes stuff like that. That does concern me. I'm not going to lie. It does concern me. Now, I would like to see, and I read the story. I think there was like another quote from Lipsey. I would like to see an elongated interview from some of the people that do write checks. It is concerning. It is concerning, right? So that was something else that came to be. Now, once again, I didn't see the date or the time of when that story was written. I think it was in the last 24 to 48. All right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I just want alignment. I just do. Okay. Like, it's all I want. Okay. Now, how do I know who Richard Lipsey is? Well, there is a viewer of the channel that actually does talk to him. But this was the big thing. He was in the Skip Bertman documentary, Hold the Rope. And he was. But that's where I was introduced to him. I knew about him previous, but that was like the first time I was like, oh, okay. Now, I don't want to get into another Scott Woodward conversation. I don't. And the reason I don't want to is it's not because it's old news. It's just, I think you guys are just sick of it. And it's a Sunday stream. Sunday streams are supposed to be fun. But I felt like it was important to bring that up because, well, it is important. Let's go to Grimes. Hope you and the family are doing well, my brothers. Yes. What's up, Grimes? Grimes, I got to be honest. You know what your background of your photo looks like? That looks like the back, and it might be. I don't know you too well. I know I sent you one of my cards recently, but it looks like that backdrop looks like the backdrop at the Grammys. Like, I'm serious. If you've ever seen a Grammy red carpet, that's what it looks like. Okay. But we'll see. And by the way, you should watch this. I've never actually sat and watched this in one total sitting, but I think the Skip Bertman documentary is a pleasant reminder what that man built. I mean, like, it was bare bones. And he did this decades ago, and he's still around to see what Jay Johnson's doing, man. God is good, man. God is really, really, really good. I was thinking about Skip yesterday for a few reasons, right? Skip just has so much bravado, personality, and all of that. I prayed a lot for Skip when his wife transitioned a few years ago to be with God, And yeah, man, I think about his personality. Like, my few interactions with him are always just so wonderful. And I thought about Skip because of how cool it is that he's gotten to see what Jay Johnson's done and with Skip being up there in age. It breaks my heart that, and it, like, as a play-by-play guy, I always idolize Vin Scully. Everybody that's done play-by-play idolizes Vin Scully to a certain degree. And I hate that Vin Scully's not really been able to have the Ohtani experience, right? Like, think about the hundreds of millions of hours that Vin Scully has called Dodgers games And he's seen every last thing, and he didn't get to see this. We had thought we had seen everything. And then I was thinking about one of the most random cool things that ever happened to me at LSU. And Gilbo was there. I think there was quite a few media members there. I did not know this, that at the opening LSU press conference, I think this was when Paul Manieri gave a press conference right before Alex Bregman's true freshman season. And this was one of like the best calls ever. Like, I want to go dig this audio up. Paul Manieri said, "Hey, all this Alex Bregman guy, he's batting three hole. He's going to be the dude. He's going to be that mother effer," is what he basically said. He's like, "This is one of the best baseball players we've ever seen." And I was like, "Damn, dude." I was like, "What? The school that's produced Todd Walker? You're saying all this?" And he didn't say like he was going to be like the GOAT LSU baseball player, but damn, dude, it was a strong take. And then just out of nowhere, Tommy Lasorda was there. Tommy freaking Lasorda. Okay, and I still think I dreamed that. I still think that was a figment of my imagination that Tommy freaking Lasorda was there. Awesome, dude. Awesome stuff. But I am very fortunate that Skip is seeing what Jay Johnson's doing, man. We got to respect this, man. Jay Johnson won't win more than 5 natties. Let's see. Oh, I just looked up at the Commander score. What the hell? What the hell is that? I have no idea what's happened. I've been locked in here. It's 28-0 Seahawks. Bears Bengals was one of the best NFL games I've ever seen. I touch on this every Sunday, the Saints, and we'll move on. And the reason I wanted to get to this here, I was going to save this if we're going to do a 3-hour one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to tonight. Okay. I want you to look at yourself in the mirror. If there's a mirror, look at it. All right. If you have a phone, look at your phone. Now, if you're watching on the phone, you won't be able to do this, but you can do this right now and just record yourself, and you can look at it and say, "This right now is true Louisiana sports rock bottom." So I recorded myself saying that, and I want you to record it. And so you can have it in your phone. You can timestamp it. Look, I did. You can look at it and say, "This right now is true Louisiana sports rock bottom." Record yourself. It's kind of crazy that I recorded myself in front of the green screen, and then the green screen picked up the green screen in the video. Anyway. Because, dear Lord, LSU, we are a circus. We are a circus. We need some good luck in this next search. And the Saints, we knew what was going to happen with a first-year head coach. We had a good idea that this team had a good chance of being just downright ass. I mean, 5-day-old shrimp that you left in the car level ass. Just toxic. Vomit-inducing. And what made it even worse was, you know, we saw Tyler Shuck play in that preseason game, basically in that same stadium, and it was like he had that one throw to, I think it was Mason Tipton or something like that. But sheesh, Luis. But yeah, if you can just indulge me, All right. And awesome viewers doing the whole stunt. But can I just do this to an audience of people? Because I've done this to myself. I've done this to myself multiple times. I will never, ever forgive what we have allowed happen to our New Orleans Pelicans basketball team. This is inexcusable, all right? This is going to come off as so unfreaking believably dangerous, but I would hope that the decisions that Joe Dumars made during the NBA draft were part of a gambling ring, because that would be the only way that any of that would have made sense. This or the Pacers trade. I won't get into it because this is not an NBA channel. What is this? And then you decided to bring Willie back. You looked at yourself in the mirror and said, you know what? Let's run it back. What? What? Please. And there's a gazillion different head coaching candidates you can get that we know that don't suck, right? The NBA head coach is not near as important as your NFL head coach. Not nearly as important. All right? Like, I don't know. Go get Sam Cassell, who I think would be a good head coach. I don't know where Sam Cassell is right now, but he's been an assistant in the NBA for forever. Go get somebody. Go get somebody from the college ranks. This really, 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 really makes me sad. Because the thing is, I care way more about LSU than anything else. LSU football, I care way more about it. But it's also a job. It's a way I make ends meet in my life. I don't do any Pelicans content. I do some Saints stuff. I don't do any Pelicans content. I honestly just want to watch. I just want to sit back and chill. I don't sit and watch every game. I just want to enjoy my life. Can't do it. And you got all these reports now. Team is disgruntled. Team doesn't like Willie Green. We get to a few different other important discussions. So you now have four traditional top 20 recruiters that have open jobs. You have Hugh Freeze fired at Auburn. So Penn State's open, Florida's open, LSU's open, and Auburn's open. Okay. What's next? Who's next? I don't know. So why didn't Hugh Freeze work out at Auburn? Well, his offenses are not that great. Yeah, he beat Alabama a few times, but the beat Alabama a few times thing has always been kind of strange to me. So it's done. It's done at Auburn. They've had two colossally bad head coaches in a row. I was right about Brian Harsin being a disaster, and he was a disaster. I thought Hugh Freeze was actually going to do good at Auburn, and they would be an 8-4 type of team. But Hugh Freeze did not adapt to the times well at all. Okay. And this is Cliff, the president of PHL. Good to see you. Hugh never got the QB he needed to run his offense. Well, Cliff, guess who picked those QBs? It was Hugh. Many of these other SEC teams that needed to go into the portal to get their QBs, they did just fine. Arkansas made Taylen Green work. Diego Pavia has obviously exceeded expectations. Lane has made multiple transfer QBs work. So give me, quit giving me the excuses. Well, Hugh needs the quarterback to run his offense. I mean, come on. So, you know, he was a disaster. There's just no other way around it. He was a disaster. You would take the New Mexico loss if there was other big dubs involved in that. Okay? It's a good question from Mr. Terps 444. Who do you think is going to be our next offensive coordinator? It's kind of pointless to discuss because a lot of that's going to come down to the who the next head coach is going to be. But the new offensive coordinator is Alex Atkins with some help with Tim Rattay. Let's go to Alexander. Nuts is the only pro-style quarterback in the SEC. So I'm getting ready to drop a deep dive on Patreon about how one stat shows where Garrett Nussmeier can really hurt your team. And it's not necessarily that he is a pro-style quarterback. It's that he's not willing to run at all. CJ Bailey out of the portal. I'm drawing a blank on CJ Bailey. Wait, hold on. Don't tell me. CJ Bailey, is that the NC State quarterback? I believe that is the NC State quarterback. Kid's got juice, man. It is the NC State quarterback. There we go. Only 19 years of age. Yeah, I saw a few NFL draft guys talk about him in the draft class of 2027. 19 touchdowns, 7 picks with the QBR of 81.3. So he's young. So there you go. Mike says, with the job openings, I'd rank it LSU, Florida, then tie of Penn State, Auburn. Yeah, so much of that now is how much are you getting in NIL? Oh, Alexander, I'll jump for joy if Mike Malone is our next head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. Okay, so get a DM here from it's from Michael. It's another Gilbo thing. Maybe this is why someone brought up Josh Heupel a little bit earlier. So if Brian Kelly got fired at 34-14, 19-10, and was 5-11 versus ranked, shouldn't Josh Heupel at 43-18, 23-15, 11-13 versus ranked, 0-1 in CFP in 5 seasons at Tennessee be next after Hugh Freeze? Man. This is a really bad Gilbo tweet. Chris Lowe followed up here. Drinkwitz, 24-22, no playoffs. Kiffin, 30-17, no playoffs. Venables, 15-16, no playoffs. Tennessee was also 10-24 versus SEC foes in 4 years prior to Heupel's arrival with NCAA sanctions hovering. Man, I know Chris, I've met Chris twice in SEC press boxes, but it was so long ago. He's right. You know, I don't know how many more times I could say Josh Heupel is big time. All right, he's not just good. He's not just great. He's big time. Well, Carter, how could he be big time if, you know, he gets destroyed by Ohio State, which, by the way, won the Natty. lost to can't beat Georgia. Well, they choked the game away. He would tell you that. Choked the game away versus Oklahoma. How many times have you watched Tennessee play and they just beat the bejesus out of the team in front of them? Happens a good bit, actually. It's hard to blow teams out. It is. Something else that really bothers me about college football, when writers, and I think writers in particular do this because it makes for easier, cleaner graphics and conversation. You cannot compare records of head coaches. You just can't do it unless the sample size is massive. But even if the sample size, which in this case is 4 or 5 years when comparing coaches, even with that being the case, it is hard. It is really, really, really hard to compare SEC coaching records because you don't share as many common opponents as one would think. The NFL makes a lot more sense, right? You play more games and the talent is more evenly dispersed. Now, does it help some that some teams are in easier division? Sure. You know, the Patriots were always big beneficiaries of being in the AFC East. So there's always some of that, all the way down to high school. But doing record-to-record comparisons in the SEC is just silly to me. It really is. Let's go to Just a Dude. Heupel is trending to LSU on UT message boards. Oh, man. Do y'all see this stuff like you see these people that say, hey, if Josh Heupel, and I think Pierce has brought this up in a chat. Pierce is probably a top five commenter on here. You'll see this on Twitter from time to time. Hey, if my coach gets hired, I will shave my back and then jump into a pool of macaroni and cheese or something crazy. I will literally do that if Josh Heupel is LSU's next head coach. I would do that in a heartbeat. That's kind of a weird thing. It makes you wonder, does Carter have fantasies about like that kind of stuff? What's going on over there in that household of yours? What's that? What was that, shaving a back and jumping into a pull of macaroni and cheese? What the hell is wrong with you, bro? What the hell's wrong with you? Heupel was an outstanding quarterback at Oklahoma. Everybody, welcome John to the channel. John standing in the ocean, sipping on a pot of coffee, holding a camera or something in the left hand. Yeah, there's more to it. I thought there was a really good piece by Wilson Alexander. The big thing from the Wilson Alexander piece was the Mason Smith thing, which was known at the time we discussed it. You know, some of Mason's family has been big supporters of PHL, so I was careful. Some of Mason's family has actually come to our PHL get-together, still friends of mine. But, yeah, there was a recruitment process to get Mason back, and the defensive line coach situation was in flux, and he decided to go, and it was the right decision. He ended up being a pretty good second-round pick, or a pretty highly ranked second-round pick. Now, we can get into how good was he really at LSU, the injury and all of it, but the main thing in the Wilson piece was that and how detached Brian Kelly was at times. Wilson also said he spoke to 15 coaches, players, sources, all of that. Crazy. Jeff Brohm has a better record against ranked teams than Heupel and Drink. Jeff Brohm has a better road record against ranked teams than Lane Kiffin. Yeah, so let's talk about the ranked team record talking point. I think of all the major talking points, the ranked opponent one is a little flawed. Because by ranked opponents, most people use AP ranked opponents. We also know the AP ranking is a very flawed thing. You get the same amount of points for beating the number 25 ranked team as you do the number one ranked team under the ranked opponent mantra. So, you know, the ranked thing is always kind of strange to me. It is. So welcome Doug back. Oh, he's a Lane guy too. Haven't seen the Tennessee talk, but personally, I like Kiffin and Gulsh. Brooks Austin. I like Brooks. Okay. I mean, it does. I mean, I think one thing about the dual threat quarterback talking point is that you just need to really be timely with your runs. You know, I don't think anyone would consider Ty Simpson to be a dual threat, but man, his runs when he actually makes them are timely. Carson Beck had some timely runs at Georgia, but they were rare. All right. Same thing with Garrett. You know, he's had a few good runs, but damn, dude. The running thing has been a big problem with Garrett. And the problem with that, it's been a decision to not run. Let's go to Chance. Carter, I thought you loved Will Wade. Yeah, okay. So my opinion on Wade has always been the same. The Wade Brigade was a completely different subset of LSU basketball fans that quite literally every single day on social media clamored for Will Wade to come back. It would be a disrespect to the true Will Wade diehards out there for me to, you know, put myself in the Will Wade superfan category. But guy, he's good. It's clear he is really, really, really good at coaching basketball. And you can make a case that he's one of the most talented coaches we've ever had at LSU in any sport. I mean, he had us humming. Okay. But what happened, and Scott decided to let it go, or let him go. And the thing about, you know, bringing him back from the McNeese stuff and the Dellinger piece and all of that is what's missing, and I would need to reread the Dellinger piece because I'm trying to remember if this was included. Was there actually interest in Wade coming back to LSU himself? All right, Scott would actually know that. Maybe Woodward knew. Yeah, I don't think Wade wants nothing to do with us. Pegasus says we turned our back on Will Wade when he was doing the same thing the Blue Bloods were doing. Yes, you can strongly make that case. You really can. And there was some epic witch hunting done by the national media. But part of the reason that witch hunting was happening is because Wade was sloppy. That was part of it. You know, the check and the wife's name and all that stuff, okay? It was sloppy. So, you know, in many ways, he got canceled. It didn't truly get canceled. He got back into the coaching industry. But, you know, I don't know all the details about him coming back, though. I really don't. Okay. And that's part of it too. We can get into the ethics of the wiretap strong offer, if you will. Now Christopher is like, Tristan Keyes flips back when we get Josh Heupel. Oh, this is a good question from Jesse. Who's a name that you're hearing that you think would be a bad hire? Well, the truth about the good hire, bad hire thing is that it works both ways and you not knowing if someone is going to be good or bad. All right? Like, I have been calling out the Mark Stoops thing for so long before it was cool. And I had done so much research on his coaching style and all those different things. And I was just so certain that A&M was making the wrong move. But even then, that's not certain. Football's wacky. A lot of different things can happen. All right? Like, that's the beauty of sports. I saw a home run hit by someone who didn't have a hit in a month. And ended up being the biggest home run of the MLB season. Of recent MLB memory, honestly. Obviously in the Dodgers, Blue Jays game. Which was crazy that on a college football Saturday, I was watching a sport other than college football on college football Saturday. But that's how good that game 7 was. But you don't know. You don't know. Alexander, thanks for all your super chats, but I'm going to disagree with you. He said, I would take the Louisiana 3-star over a 5-star from another state. Okay? Don't know about that. Do not know about that. Yeah, I don't know if I want Landon Ibieta over Cam Coleman. Nah, that's just not what I want. especially now with how good the ranking systems have actually gotten. Like, one guy who started off slow and I somewhat casted him off, thought he was going to be like a good but not great player, is Zachariah Branch. He's so damn good for Georgia. He is so good. USC's wide receiver room is also good. They still have the number one offense. They've been fine without him. Sometimes you just need a change of scenery. But the ranking services have gotten good at the 5-star wide receivers. DeCorian Moore, they were right about that one. Cam Coleman, they were right about that one. Ryan Wingo, they were right about that one. Jeremiah Smith, they were right about that one. Zachariah Branch, slow but steady, they got that right. So, yeah, give me the 5-star. But then it gets in a price. Yeah, the services had Malik mostly as a 4-star. And there was a worldwide pandemic. There's some Arkansas fans that were not happy earlier today that I tweeted out that Arkansas waited way too long to fire Sam Pittman. Now, I understood why they did it. And some of that was justified, but man, Arkansas would have been one of the few jobs open in a very slow coaching market. They're one of the first teams to fire just to then have Florida, Penn State, LSU, and Auburn all open up. And then they're like, well, Carter, you don't know if everybody views all four of those jobs better than Arkansas. What if the Waltons actually decided to get involved in football? And yeah, if the Waltons got involved in football and really got involved, they would turn into Alabama. But we don't know. The problem, though, is which coach is going to do that? Which coach is really going to get those billionaires to sign those checks? I don't know. I don't know if Arkansas is a better job than Virginia Tech right now. I'm serious. Virginia Tech, it's a lot easier to win. ACC is kind of open right now, too. I mean, I could see VaTech getting back into being a good school. Especially if Brent Key goes to the SEC. Ooh. Could you imagine if you're Mississippi State and you have a big win last week, you're 5-4. VO's been about it. We talked about Jeff Levy quite a bit tonight. Mississippi State, their final three games to be bowl eligible. Georgia at Missouri, bye week, and Ole Miss. They're 5-4 right now. And you get one of the most hyped home games at Mississippi State in a while versus Georgia. And you get an 11 a.m. kick. That, to me, has been one of the more underrated Brian Kelly storylines, is how many night kicks we've gotten. Now, we've always gotten night kicks, but night kicks are a bigger discussion now with there being more teams in the SEC that want those kicks. Dabo Sweeney's never getting fired, and he shouldn't ever get fired unless the team really went like 3-9 or 2-11 or something like that. I just don't think you can ever justify firing him. So there you go. Great show. There were on my end, just to further kind of talk about my argument, this has been an hour long on my end, no spots. Our friends at Labor Therapy and Fortify Gulf Coast, you know, they don't take up too much time. Right now, Jesse, there's no one that I'm just like, I'm out on. God, that Blue Jays game was so good last night. Roll that beautiful bean footage. You're the only one that gets that show enough. You're around my age, so. There's no telling, Mac. It's good to have you return. All right, y'all. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Once again, thanks to our partners as well at Zion Imaging. If you're in the Shreveport region, you need to book Zion Imaging for your next 360 spin booth experience. That's xyanimaging.com or xyan360.com. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! A fun Sunday. Big thanks to Alex, Jack, S. Young, Grimes takes home the top spot. Mr. Terps and Alexander. Tonight, we are doing... Oh, my aunt made me some pound cake. Let's go.